Lord, as we hear your word, both read and shared, would you open our ears so that we can hear, and then free us from distractions so that we can really listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. But above all, God, would you open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Baptism. Some of us can remember our baptisms. Others were baptized as infants or young children and have no memory of it at all. It's good to know or be told our baptism stories. I was 8 years old when I was baptized. I was raised in a Baptist church where you had to make a personal profession of faith before you could receive baptism. And in that church, you were baptized in this big tank of water, and you were put fully, your whole body, under three times. It was kind of a scary experience. Now, I thought I was ready to be baptized at 8 years old. My mother and my pastor did not think I was ready to be baptized, but I was sure I was, and so my mom tells me that when I got in that baptismal tank with the pastor, I turned and looked at her like, One of my favorite baptism stories took place in a baptism at Lake Harriet United Methodist Church with a 2.5-year-old boy that I was baptizing. Now, he was 2.5, so he was a little older than some that we do, and so I wanted to make him comfortable. So I had he and his parents come in well before the baptism so that we could talk about the baptism. I brought him to the baptismal font, just like we did the children today. I told him what would happen on his baptism day. I let him play in the water, and he enjoyed that. He was all of a sudden feeling very comfortable and could hardly wait for his baptism. So on the morning of the baptism, he was very well behaved as I questioned his parents. He was absolutely fine when they put him in my arms for the baptism. But as soon as I started baptizing him, he yelled out, "I'll do it myself." And he stuck his hand into the water along with me and baptized himself. Actually, that's not bad theology. You see, baptism is a covenant between us and God and the church. All of us are involved. I've just never had anyone be quite that involved before. In the United Methodist Church, people of all ages can be baptized. Do you remember just a few weeks ago, we baptized a baby and we baptized a 15-year-old the same morning? Through infant baptism, parents and the congregation and sponsors promise to surround the child in love and help that child grow to know God's love for themselves by coming to church and by learning the stories. Some people ask that question, why do we baptize infants who don't have any idea of what's going on and who can't make a personal profession of faith? In the United Methodist Church, we choose to baptize infants because of the stories in the Bible about people coming to faith. And as soon as they come to faith, Scripture says they and their entire households, including their children, are baptized. We baptized infants and children because baptism really is a gift from God. It's not something we earn. It's God's free blessing to us. We baptize infants and children because even though they cannot understand all the theological concepts of baptism, we baptize them so that they can receive the nourishment, the blessing of the sacrament. Babies don't understand the nutritional value of eating good food or drinking clean water either, and we don't withhold those gifts from them until they can have a clear understanding of nutrition. Likewise, in Christ, they are given the gift of baptism in preparation for the time when they will begin to understand their connection with God for themselves. And for many people, confirmation Confirmation is the confirming of one's baptismal vows, is a time of personally claiming an understanding of God's work in their lives and promising to follow God as Lord and Savior themselves. In the baptism of older children and of adults, the individual makes the faith vows and the congregation promises to continue helping that person to grow in their faith. Some people are baptized as older children or adults simply because of the fact that they were not baptized as children. Some are baptized older because of instructions in the Bible that tell us to believe and be baptized. Often these people's parents have chosen to wait for their child to make their own profession of faith before being baptized. And some choose this believer's baptism because Jesus himself was baptized as an adult, not as a child. There are also different forms of baptism. There is the full immersion that I talked about, where the pastor puts you under three times. The whole body is brought under water and then lifted up. And this focuses, it really signifies on our dying to sin and our rising to life in God. And then there is pouring water over a person's head, which symbolizes the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit upon the person. In this church, we use sprinkling of water most often as a symbol of purification, cleansing, and spiritual blessing. But any of these means of baptism can be used in the United Methodist Church. And everyone who is baptized receives a special blessing from God, receives this visible reminder and expression of God's work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. In the United Methodist Church, baptism is not a salvation issue. We don't believe that if you are baptized, then you're loved by God and saved, and if you're not baptized, then you aren't saved. Rather, we understand baptism as something we do because God invited us to do that, where we receive a very special blessing from God, and that special blessing does several things. First, baptism gives us our identity. It tells us who we are. Baptism is God's gift of claiming us as God's own. Just as there was water present at our physical birth, so the baptismal waters represent new life, new birth. Baptism is the symbol that you and I are born into the kingdom of God. It is an announcement to the world that we are included in God's family. How many of you have seen episodes of the Andy Griffith Show? Anyone familiar with that? A lot of you. In one particular episode, the Women's Historical Society discovered that a living descendant of a Revolutionary War hero was living right there in Mayberry. And everyone was so excited about it, but then they became shocked when news came identifying who the hero's relative was. Anyone know who it was? Anyone? It was Otis Campbell, none other than the town drunk. And so the town went about trying to find a substitute to fill in for Otis at the big ceremony that they were going to have where they made the presentation. But as you might guess, somehow the real Otis managed to show up. When the ladies gave him the plaque that they had engraved especially for him, Otis gave the plaque back to the town, turned it back over to them and said, "Just because you're a descendant of a hero doesn't make you a hero. So I would like to present this plaque to the town of Mayberry, to which I am just proud to belong." Well, aren't we all? Aren't we all just happy to belong? To know that we are included in the church and in the family of faith in God's plan? We refer to this part of our baptism as our incorporation. Baptism is a symbol that we are included, incorporated into the body of Christ, the church. Our baptism, it's very private. We receive a very personal blessing. but it is also not private at all. You see, we are included alongside others. We share a common relationship with Jesus Christ. We are included in God's great love, in God's great big family of faith. And because of that, we can know that no matter what happens in our lives, we are never, ever alone. Second, baptism also signifies to us that our sins are forgiven. We sin, God forgives. It sounds pretty simplistic, but it really is a very costly enterprise. Author Walter Wangeren tells about an experience that he had with his then 7-year-old son, Matthew. Matthew stole a comic book. His dad found out and disciplined him and made him return the book and apologize. But the following summer, it happened again. And then not long after that, it happened again. And so his dad decided that he had to do something to get his son's attention and to teach his son the seriousness of stealing. And so he gave his son a spanking. When he finished, he told Matthew to stay in his room until he came back. And then the father left the room and he cried. And then he went back in the room to talk to his son. And from that moment on, Matthew never, ever again stole anything. And he took up honesty and integrity as one of his highest virtues. Years later, he was asked if it was the spanking that kept him from stealing and made honesty so important to him. But Matthew said, no, it was not that. What stopped him from stealing was that he had heard his dad cry. Friends, grace, it is never cheap. Our sins, those things that we do or don't do that diminish the humanity of others and our own humanity, are destructive acts that bring harm into God's world, harm to ourselves, harm to our families, our friends, our environment, harm to our witness as to what it means to be children of God. Baptism, it's a one-time event, but it's a continual reminder of the great love that God has for us, and that because of that love, no matter what we have done, our sins are forgiven, and we are given another chance, new hope, new opportunity. And because of that love, our hearts are changed, and we choose to turn away from our sin and turn toward the ways of Christ. And finally, baptism calls us into ministry. Jesus began his official healing and teaching ministry by being baptized when he was in his early 30s. In our baptism, just like Jesus, we are called into ministry, whatever our age. In baptism, we are called to serve, called to do God's work in the church and in the world. And we do this service in joyful response to the gift of God's love and grace in our lives. We are given gifts that we are called to use, and we use these gifts alongside other Christians to make the world better. And as we use these gifts, we grow in our own connection with God and others, and our spirits thrive, and our churches thrive, and our world is made better because of the baptized community. According to this morning's scripture reading, from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one day Jesus comes to the Jordan River, and he's baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. And the moment Jesus came up out of the water, do you remember what happened? The skies opened, and a dove descended upon him, and a voice came from heaven saying, read it with me, "You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Did you know that God speaks this very blessing to each of us at our baptism? We are God's beloved son, God's beloved daughter, God's beloved child. The blessing you receive at baptism brings with it the assurance that you are God's beloved child, included in God's great acts of grace and mercy in the world. It brings with us the assurance that we are forgiven of our sins and that there is absolutely nothing, nothing we ever can do that can separate us from God's love, and there is always hope and promise and possibility. And baptism reminds us that it is active, that it calls us to ministry, and we are called to live out this life in Christ. Through the symbol of baptism, you are welcomed into a journey that takes your entire life. Baptism, it's not an end, it's not a destination, it's a mark of your life of faith. What God will make of you, I know not. Where God will take you, I do not know. But this I do know, and this I will say. God is with you. With you. And you are God's beloved. May you know that. May you claim that. Amen.